Andy and Joe coming up.
You know, Nate mentioned to me last night, he said, yeah, the list has been a lot longer than in years past. So injuries come up. They do. They come up at different points in the season. I'd rather have them now than in the playoffs, right? So that's my hope at this point. That said, I am concerned with, like I've said, some of the pieces being out there together, especially some of our newer players, our younger players. It's hard to show up in this league first game of the season and be ready to go. Things like training camp, things like going away, things like practicing against other teams, preseason games, it's all important.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott wrapping training camp. He referenced their Bills head athletic trainer, Nate Breske, and all the injuries through training camp. We'll get a look back at camp and a look ahead to preseason game number one. Joining us on the Western Hotline, Chris Brown, of course, of One Bills Live, and calling the game on Saturday for Bills and Giants. Chris, good morning. Injuries. We spent half our time at camp listing the injuries during our shows.
Yeah, and as Sean said, the list has been longer this summer. I don't think there's any debate about that than in recent years. And, you know, to his point, this time of year, you're probably less concerned with the final score on the board at the end of the game. You're more concerned with fitting, as he said, the pieces together. Who plays well off of one another, particularly on defense, where they're trying to cull together a lot of new pieces, if not in the starting lineup, certainly in the rotation on that D-line, which combinations of players play most effectively together. That's the big part of this evaluation this preseason. And if you're down a couple of those players, you know, you've got some concern. You get to the regular season if some of these guys can't get back.
Chris Brown with us. Is there anybody that comes to mind, Chris, for tomorrow's game that maybe didn't have, you know, the flashiest training camp while we were at St. John Fisher, that if they had a big day, the vibes would go up?
Yeah, we haven't really seen much from Laviska Shenault, right? You know, I think a lot of people thought that this was a guy who, you know, he certainly passes the eyeball test. I mean, he is put together at 6'1", 227. And I think there were some thought that, okay, this guy has worked with Chris Tabor before, the special teams coordinator. You know, if he can really show up and show out, and granted, you don't see a lot of full-speed special teams drills, so the preseason was going to have to settle that competition between him and Codrington. But at the receiver position, you were hoping he could at least give you something there, demonstrate an ability to block in the run game, and, you know, maybe make a play here or there, and perhaps even factor into some of that pre-snap motion. Because I look at him, guys, and I see a potential, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, if you want to use him in that fashion, because he's built the same exact way. We haven't seen any of that, and we haven't really seen him factor into the passing game all that much, even with this team so devoid of receivers due to injury. So I think he's a guy that's got to really step up and flash here in the preseason.
Yeah, it's been interesting watching the receiver, I guess, the hierarchy play out. Coleman's been healthy and available the whole time, and I think by all accounts he's had a really nice camp. Palmer, a little bit of an injury, groin issue, right? Shakir got hurt. I mean, almost everybody else seemed to get dinged up. Tyrell Shavers as well. McDermott went out of his way to praise how Shavers is trying to make this team, which, I don't know, Chris, you think, let's start there with Shavers. Kenny, because of the injuries, I mean, last year it sounded like it might have been his time, and he did get in some game action. This time it sounds like he's playing hurt at camp to prove himself, and McDermott is calling him a true Buffalo Bill. Like, you know, the coach has got high praise for a guy that's seems like he's always on the bubble and can't quite seem to find his way to a full-time spot.
Yeah, and could he get caught up in a numbers game again? He certainly could, because I think you can easily find your way to naming five guys prior to calling his name. And are they keeping five? Are they keeping six? You know, what's the situation at tight end, and how many are you keeping there? So those are all the number concerns that you have to navigate your way through as a coaching staff to get your best, quote-unquote, best 53. I don't think it's any secret that Sean McDermott enormously appreciates guys that just put their nose to the grindstone and work. And Tyrell Shavers would certainly fit into that category. And so I think he's a guy that has clearly earned the respect of the head coach and clearly does everything the right way. And maybe more than anybody else over the last 3+ years has respected the process. If you want to talk about somebody that has earned it, Tyrell Shavers might be at the top of your list. And look, he's made plays. It's not like it's like, yeah, the guy's a try-hard guy, but does he really do anything? He's made plays. So I think he's backed up the hard work with results as well. Now, carrying that into the preseason is going to be important as well. But if he goes ahead and does that, yeah, I mean, he's got a shot, a legitimate shot.
On Curtis Samuel, who basically misses camp with a hamstring injury, I wonder how the Bills feel about him. You know, they sign him, and he's got experience with the offensive coordinator last year. It's the turf toe that keeps him out for a while. Allen points out they kind of can't get on the same page just because of that. Like, everything was kind of delayed. And then late in the season, we started to see that pop going to the Denver playoff game as well. Do you feel like the Bills would have a level of, you know, whatever, it's frustrating to see him miss so much time, but knowing the skill set, the talent, and the fit started to show what it is supposed to be?
Yeah, and I know that I was just as encouraged as the next person about what we saw from him at the end of the season, not just the Denver playoff game, but the Kansas City playoff game. I mean, him and James Cook were the two guys that Josh Allen was relying upon the most in the second half of that football game. And I believe Samuel had the go-ahead touchdown for them in the fourth quarter, you know, before the ultimate outcome happened. So you were seeing some really good things from Curtis Samuel. The problem is, there's an availability issue there, and you know we're back where we were last year at this time. You know, when he had a couple of injuries that he was dealing with and trying to play through. You know, it's nobody's fault; it just happens. And I know that based on how his contract is structured, you know, there's no thought of moving on from Curtis Samuel, not this year anyway. So I think you're in a situation where you just have to kind of let it play out. You're still about a month from the opener and see where he can get between now and then. Can he get on the field? And then more importantly, can he stay on the field? And what are you getting from him? I think that's kind of how you have to play this out at this point in time.
Chris, I think there's a backup quarterback competition probably to be had here in the preseason. Was there anything really that separated Mitch Trubisky and Mike White in training camp to your eyes? I mean, I don't think there's any debate Trubisky might have the early lead here. He's the incumbent. He's been here before, the contract, and he's starting tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is a competition, and I think the proof will come out in the preseason. I think that's where you really see and can evaluate, you know, who has been the superior performer. And I think this coaching staff will give both players equal time with the quote-unquote starters or second teamers, as it were, so as not to handicap anybody, you know, with third teamers to work with and playing against third teamers. I think they really want to get as accurate an evaluation as they can on those two guys. I thought Mitch Trubisky's best practice may have been the blue and red scrimmage. He was fantastic in that practice from start to finish in a practice, you know, that Josh barely did any teamwork. I think he threw 4 passes in 7-on-7, and then he had a baseball hat on. He was fantastic. I mean, he's facing all-out blitzes, throwing off his back foot and dropping it in the back pylon in the end zone to Dalton Kincaid in double coverage. I mean, it might have been the best throw I've seen Mitch Trubisky make in a Bills uniform. You have those moments and those practices, and then unfortunately he did not have a great throw in Wednesday's practice. It was a poor decision, and it winds up being an interception. You're going to have those, but all of them count, right? So they all go into the evaluation. But, yeah, through the course of the practices at training camp, I just feel like we've seen more Trubisky than White, and I'll be the first to tell you I haven't counted their snaps, but it just feels like I've noticed Trubisky more in the practice setting than I've noticed Mike White.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. Bills and Giants tomorrow. Defensively, Chris, as we shift to that side of the ball, there's been a lot of change over there and, you know, a fair amount of returning players as well. I feel like, you know, as we start with injuries on the offensive side, we're there on the defensive side as well. Of course, Maxwell Harrison and his injury, which keeps him out a little bit. it's maybe ironic's not the right word, but when Hairston goes down, we fear another kind of Cole Bishop situation. And then soon after, Cole Bishop is kind of back in the Cole Bishop situation where he's having issues staying on the field as well. And I feel like we're kind of right back where we were this time last year, where there's snake bit in the secondary and the injuries back there might lead to some issues to start off.
Yeah, I'm less concerned with corner because of how good Trey White has looked, and I'm more concerned about safety, not just because you're down Cole Bishop, but you're down Taylor Rapp as well, who, you know, Sean McDermott said yesterday is going to miss about a week with a knee injury. So this was the tandem that you had penciled into the lineup, and this is their first opportunity to get some time on the field together and as close to a game-like setting as you're going to find, and they're both unavailable. That's a concern because it's a new pairing, and they need as much time on the field as you can possibly get them in game-like situations. So that's not good. There's no other way to slice it. Can they make up for lost time? We're going to have to wait and see, but that was the penciled-in starting tandem. You're not going to see it in any capacity tomorrow afternoon. You got to hope that both can get back and can play with one another before the preseason is out, because going against that Ravens team in week one, if you have limited time on the field together, I'm a little wary.
Yeah, McDermott kind of spoke to this a little bit yesterday about, you know, he'd rather have the injuries now than the playoffs, but that it can make it tougher. I mean, the safety injuries, the linebacker injuries in and out, the suspensions on the D-line. I feel like the managing of the roster and reps, maybe there's been more of that this summer on one side of the ball, Chris, than there maybe ever has been.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the side of the ball that has the most new stuff to pull together, right? So you want them on the field so you can get the proper evaluation, know that, okay, I'm set at this position, let's move on to here. Okay, let's see what these combinations look like here on the defensive front. You know, I think it's been hard for the defensive staff to really hone in on what works best with the players they have on the field in terms of scheme and play calling for down and distance situations, because they just haven't had them out there enough. I'm sure they have a semblance of an idea of what they'd like to do, but you want that confirmed for you on the field. The number one thing for coaches is knowing that they can trust players in certain situations, and that trust is reaffirmed through reps on the field being executed properly. So when players are out of the lineup and coaches don't have that, it gives them a little odds to guys.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, on James Cook, it's been a big-time story of camp, and you know the twists and turns, they haven't been that big in the last week. I found it so interesting that McDermott, when asked if he expected Cook to be there, said yes, and then said, well, I expect all players to be there. Meanwhile, there have been several reports that the two sides maybe aren't as far apart as people might think. And I don't know if there's an end in sight. I don't know what's going to happen with James Cook. He's going to the walkthroughs. He's going to the meetings. He's just skipping practice. Yesterday, Allen kind of takes up for him to a degree. You know, we desperately want him out here. He's handling generational kind of business. Like, you know, it's a sticky spot. And I don't know if you have a prediction on the resolution or a predicted timeline, but we're kind of just hanging in limbo right now.
Yeah, we are. I think that, you know, you've just got to kind of let those things play out, you know, at the level they're playing out, which is obviously the front office and his agency. And, you know, you got to hope that there's some common ground that can be found. I think a lot of us hoped that with the Kyren Williams contract, even though he plays significantly more snaps in the Rams offense than Cook does in Buffalo, you have a guy from the same draft class, comparable numbers in terms of production over the last 2 years. And to me, the parameters on a new deal are pretty much laid out for you by the Rams. I thought that might, you know, break the dam, so to speak, and, you know, let negotiations flow. But that hasn't happened to this point. Does it change? I suppose it could. James says he wants to be in Buffalo. So, I don't know. I just think the number that was thrown out at the beginning of the spring is unrealistic. The Kyren Williams contract proves that. So you got to hope that some people have some come-to-realism moments and figure it out, because I think both parties know how much they benefit. You know, the Bills obviously benefit from having Cook in their lineup. I think Cook knows how good a fit he is for this offense. So you just got to hope that the two sides can reach some kind of compromise.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people think he might miss games. Joe and I have talked about this. Like, we don't think it'll get that far. But if it were to happen, or if they're to move on from him and find a taker, like, would you be concerned about what would happen with the offense? It's an offense that has, you know, a proliferation of contributors. We know that. But Cook is their explosive piece. And as you mentioned, in Kansas City, he was one of the guys that was the reason they were in that game.
Right. I think he's the second most dynamic athlete on the offensive side of the ball next to Josh Allen. And you even heard Sean McDermott say it after the season was over in his season-ending press conference. You need 2 to 3 elite talents on each side of the ball. And for the Bills, that's Allen and Cook. Could someone like Keon Coleman or, you know, Khalil Shakir perhaps get to that level at some point? Sure. But right here, right now, it's Cook and Allen. Those are your elite talents on offense in terms of the skill position players. So, you know, he's a critical piece on the offensive side of the ball. You know, if you have to move on from him or whatever, you better get a comparable talent coming back to your roster in return. Because in my estimation, you would be down a major piece for this season.
Do you think, feel like, Chris, as this hold-in has been going on, I almost feel like maybe there's different types of hold-ins. Like, I wonder if some players around the league, their hold-in is more about, like, let me make things as uncomfortable as possible. Like, let me make this awkward, like, kind of help push the team into doing something. Whereas the Cook one, I don't know, McDermott doesn't come off as it being that way. Allen doesn't. You know, I think Bean maybe is let down, but just by the fact that he had a streak going of, like, never having something like this happen, and this is the first time. But he's doing the mental stuff. McDermott said he's doing walkthrough stuff. You feel like with Cook, it's just more about, I'm not putting my body at risk than it's, I'm trying to make things uncomfortable?
Yeah, I would probably agree with that if you forced me to make a choice. It's kind of like James said, it's business. I don't think he likes business getting in the way of him doing his job, because he's wired a certain way, which is what made him so attractive to the Bills in the first place. He's all about the work and putting the work in, competing and excelling. He's cut from the same cloth as a lot of the other players on this roster. And that's why he's got so much respect in the front office and amongst the coaching staff, because he does his work. You know, he's quiet as kept, and he excels on the field. It's hard to be disappointed in that. And business has kind of compromised, I think, his own personal work ethic. So I'm sure he's not loving it, but I think he knows, or at least he believes, this is the step he has to take to try to get to a place contract-wise where he'll be satisfied.
Final preseason game at Highmark. I don't, you know, a lot of special moments, and, you know, a special kids' day, right? Like, that's the kind of thing where it is a preseason game. But we were saying earlier, Chris, like, you never know. The secondary market, the cheapest ticket to this game is $28, which is kind of unheard of in the preseason. So you might have an eager crowd, because you never know who's going to be at that Highmark Stadium for the last time.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of last times this year, right? It's, I guess if there was ever a year to be nostalgic each and every week, it's probably this season. So I think a lot of people are going to be taking a lot of long looks, you know, around the stadium, whether they get there for one game, two games, whether they're season ticket members, whatever it is, they're going to be taking long looks around when they're in that building, because they know that they're going to have to take their snapshots then, because there won't be another time.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, and have a good game on Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, good to talk to you guys.
All right, Chris Brown, he's got the call, of course, with Eric Wood on the Bills preseason opener against the Giants. That'll be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's going to be hot.
It also will be, I'm trying to think, how different, because I pass it more often than a lot, how different for someone that hasn't seen the stadium project since the end of last season, how different is it going to look? How different is the outside look right now? The inside is,
I think,
the amount of work on the inside is nuts.
The outside looks different in that if you hadn't seen it when the canopy was up before.
Yeah, okay,
right. The canopy is the finishing kind of piece of like, whoa, all right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The shell's not on it yet on the outside, but I think that's soon.
That's right. The wind is not yet confused.
Although, like, Allen said it in that Hard Knocks clip, like, that he couldn't really, they were talking about how, like, they couldn't really feel it. We even had that a little bit, I think, when we were there.
That's before the wind confusion stuff is even put on the outside.
Right, just by, like, the way the stadium is turned and there's
that's a full.
What did Pagula say in the thing? We scienced it.
Yeah,
right. They scienced it.
Good.
So.
Shedeur Sanders is playing in the preseason opener for the Browns. There are games tonight, too. So if you're looking for preseason action, there were three last night, and there are games tonight. I might have to get back on my Falcons. I think I'm back in on my Falcons.
Our
Falcons.
I don't know if I want it.
You don't have enough Falcons shares? I've got enough.
I don't know that I have Darnell Mooney in like one dynasty league, and that might be it. I'm not saying I don't want Bijan Robinson. I just have never been bad enough to get Bijan Robinson. Yep.
Wow. Look at you dropping. I've never been bad enough.
What?
Wow.
How do you get Bijan Robinson? How do you get McDavid? You got to be terrible.
You win a lottery. That's what I did. I won a lottery to get Bijan Robinson.
What was your season like before that?
You
didn't come from 10, did you?
No, I had two picks in the top four.
Okay, so you traded for those picks.
No, one of them was mine.
And there you go.
The other was a lottery
pick. There you go. I've never been down there.
No.
How you get him.
Look at you.
I don't have any Drake London. That's a guy I'd like because you could have got him over the years.
Is Michael Penix going to play tonight? No. Remember they said that neither quarterback was going to play. No Cousins and no Michael Penix in their preseason opener. I think that came out earlier in the week. So no Michael Penix tonight, which I'd like to see. I didn't see enough of him last year.
And no Cousins?
No Cousins.
That means, hold on a second. Does that mean, is he still there? Let me check the depth chart. No. I thought Peterman was there. He was with them at some point in the offseason, but he's not no longer on the roster, I guess.
Yeah. Neither plays tonight. Neither of those two plays tonight. So
so it's Easton Stick, it looks like.
All right. Easton Stick gets his moment. Tonight, it's Detroit, Atlanta, Cleveland, Carolina that you will see Shedeur Sanders, and Washington and New England. And I will see if Drake May has played or will play, what the Patriots have said about that.
I have to find them. Peterman might be on the Falcons. ESPN says he's Atlanta Falcons quarterback. So
you're supposed to know this as the number one Peterman follower.
It's incredible. It's been incredible to me that he's still in the league at 30. Imagine that. After the 5 interception game, if I told you, he's gonna be in the league until he's 30. He's not listed on their official roster, so I don't know what ESPN's doing.
All right, when we get back, we got a fun game to play, a call to catch up on, and I'll tell you what Mike Vrabel said about whether or not Drake May will play tonight. Because, get an eye on the competition, see if he's going to play tonight against Washington. Jeremy and Joe here on a Football Friday on WGR.